Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. I see life and it's passing right before my eyes. And the past is the past. Don't be ready. Time to be alive. I need to walk on the wire just to catch my breath. I don't know how.
Welcome back. 17 till the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. The one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend Scott Arno, a cybersecurity expert extraordinaire. Thesecurityadvocate.com. Is that right, Scott?
Exactly.
All right, so check him out there. We're talking about, Scott, you want to talk some more about the industrial control systems. Is this the Internet of Things, the manufacturing equivalent of the Internet of Things challenge that we have?
Well, the Internet of Things is actually part of this. The Internet of Things, which we call IoT, has a very large subset called the IIoT, which is the Industrial Internet of Things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's remote access to different parts of whatever system is being worked on, sensors, that type of thing. And that's actually an avenue of attack here.
Let me stop you for a second, folks. Scott, mm-hmm. Folks, let me orient you a little bit to help you. So you know about the Internet of Things. Some of you have thermostats that are connected to the Internet. You've got a car that's connected to the Internet. You've got a personal device from Amazon or Google in your house that's connected to the Internet. You have lots of different things like that. Well, and you also hear about people talking about the dangers of the grid, the exposure of our grid, our electrical grid or whatever, to cyber attack. Well, what they're talking about are all these little devices out there that are connected, hardwired or Wi-Fi, to the Internet so people can control them here and there and all, you know, different places. This is what we're talking about. This is what Scott's reporting on.
Absolutely.
Are all these little devices, many of which, when they were built, were never designed with a security system, a security element to them, right? All right, now go ahead, Scott. I want to make sure people knew the context of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, the sheer mass of stuff being used here is part of what makes it so tricky, because how in the world do you secure all this stuff? And this report that came out from the U.S. CERT, the Computer Emergency Readiness Team, is basically saying they're seeing right now, as we're talking, there are attacks taking place on our infrastructure. This could be power production. This could be water. Just about anything you think of as basic, transportation. But the thing is, it doesn't just go after them directly. A lot of times it goes through the supply chain. So this could impact a great many of your listeners, because if you have a company that deals with any one of these types of manufacturing companies or infrastructure companies, they could target you to go after them.
Mm-hmm.
There is a type of attack called a watering hole attack, where they basically will sort of compromise not the intended victim, but someone who they will use to get to the intended victim. I'll give you a quick example that was used actually in this industry. A few years back, there was an oil gas company, I think it was located in Texas, which was targeted, and rather than go after this company directly, which had some pretty impressive defensive work, they went after a local Chinese restaurant, which was popular with the workers there, and they put malware in the menu page.
Oh.
So when people from the company went to go order dinner, they wound up inadvertently getting their network attacked that way.
And see,
that's
this
sort
is
of the way of watering hole attack.
Now we come back to the letters, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
I've been warning people about the letters. The letters are, you know, back in the 90s, we got letters from our manufacturing customers where they said, if you're not prepared to shake our hand from an ISO standpoint, you're not going to be able to do business with us. Then we got another letter in the 98-99. If you can't demonstrate to us that you're Y2K compliant, you can't do business with us. Now we're going to get another letter where they say, if you can't demonstrate to us, blah, 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 based on what you're talking about right now, Scott, you're not going to be able to do business with us, even down to restaurants. That's amazing.
Well, with that one, that was a particularly bad example. And to an extent, you also got to point at the oil and gas network not being ready for that type of threat. But, yeah, if you have any dealings with these companies, you can be targeted here. And that's an issue. You know, it's, I could give you a couple of quick things you could do. Make sure your systems are up to date. Make sure you're using very good passwords and have a second factor of authentication, so to speak, so it's not just the password to get in. But, yeah, you really do need to have a real legit security expert take a look at your stuff.
Well, or take or let, and once you get that done, once you know that you're secured, let your customers know if you go to our website and order food off our menu, we're secure. These are our credentials. This is what we've done, and that way you'll start getting the business from those companies that your competitors who don't have that are getting.
That's an excellent point. I've seen it. I've seen even law firms indicate that they have a type of certification called ISO 27001,
right,
which is a specific security industry certification. And I've definitely seen companies go, hey, look, we're certified. We're much more secure. Come deal with us. And it works.
Mm-hmm.
Because certainly for industrial control systems, they have a lot of issues they have to deal with. For a lot of them, they also are using older legacy systems, which, surprise, surprise, tend to get attacked a lot.
Right. Right.
And for them, that makes it that much harder to control. And if there's one less problem they have to deal with, say, in their supply chain, they're going to take it.
Are these ICS units going to be, are they going to be get protected? Is there going to be a firewall put around these? What do you think?
Well, firewalls are always there. A firewall is only good as, I guess, how it's configured, what's called a rule set. The way stuff goes through a firewall, there are sort of rules. We allow this type of traffic. We don't allow that kind of traffic. And certainly any...
But if they're exposed, the firewall's not doing the job, right?
It can. I mean, there are different ways to get in. A lot of times what gets in is through people. They go through phishing attacks.
That, like you were talking about a while ago, yeah. Hold on to that thought. We come back, folks. I'm going to make Scott talk about something different is in the news today, these days, at least last week. And we'll do that after this break. Tintel, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.